been singing all the way around. Is that going to turn it off? How are you doing? There you go. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Romans. We're going to be looking in the book of Romans. And in chapter number 6, if you'll find the place in chapter 6, the book of Romans, you're able to stand and stand while we look there in a couple of passages, all right? Verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof that ye now are ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We pray you will bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. Help us, I pray, to exalt and magnify your name together. We'll thank you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I'm going to preach a little while this morning on bad boy, what you going to do when they come for you. Not really. That'd be a good title, though. And we may have that down the road. I want to preach about the Savior, eternal life, Satan, eternal death. And one or the other you're going to be involved in. We sit here and look out across the congregation, and let me tell you right now is that one of these days you're going to say the last words you're ever going to say on this side of the, I guess we should say on this side of glory, be the last opportunity that you'll ever have. I want to say to you that if you will, that if you're saved, if you're in the Savior and you know the Lord, when you pass away from here, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And let me tell you right now is that you're going to find out you'll have eternal life when you leave this world and you know Him, Jesus Christ, in the free pardon of sin. I want to say to you that if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin and you simply know Him intellectually, in your mind, I got to tell you, is that when you say the last thing you're ever going to say, draw the last breath you're ever going to draw, you're going to find out that you're going to, as a result of that, you're going to be a person that's going to face eternal damnation. You could have had eternal life, but no, you chose to have eternal damnation because you received not the love of the truth that you might be saved. Now, you know, our job and our business since the day we got born again is to try to turn others to Christ, not to religion. I was every now and again, you know, I watch a little bit of Fox News. And that ain't all I watch, but I like a little bit of Fox News. Then I have to turn it because they make me so sick. There's a lot of people that are religious. You can tell they're religious by what they're saying. And they're religious talking, but they don't have a clue what it means to be born again. I was looking at, there was a young man, and of course now you might have seen that, the Roman Catholic Church and Pope, they've made a saint out of this boy that was a young boy, a young lad, and all of that, and died with some kind of, I don't know, blood disease or some kind of an affliction that hit him and all of that. And so they have made him a saint. Let me just tell you right now is, that's a lie spawned from hell. You don't make anybody a saint. You become a saint when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you die without the Lord, after you live without the Lord, you're not ever going to be a saint. You're going to suffer in a place called hell, the bottomless pit, the lake of fire, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. I got to say to you, when you begin to look into this lesson that's here, that man is a sinner. The Bible teaches that. Man's a sinner by choice. Not only that, but man's a sinner by birth. You didn't have to do anything to be able to go to hell when you die. Just don't trust the Lord so you can go to heaven. If you live without Christ and die without Christ, you're going to spend eternity without Christ. It's that simple. I don't wish that upon you. I'm certainly doing what I can to frantically warn you. There's only one way you can miss hell and make heaven, and it's in a person, and his name is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to say to you that, if you will, that we've, every one of us, know what it's like to say, well, Preacher, I'm pretty busy, you know. I go to church and so forth and on. I pay tithes of all that I possess, and I do this and I do that and all that. Let me just tell you right up front, it won't make any difference what you're doing. God's going to pay you for it. Do you see that? I'm not going to heaven because I deserve it or because that God owes it. I'm going to heaven because of the fact that over 2,000 years ago that Jesus Christ bowed his head, gave up the ghost and said, it's finished, that whosoever believeth in me should not perish but have everlasting life. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, I'm saying it over and over again. I'm going to tell you until that I draw the last breath. But I want to tell you right up front, make no mistake about it, is that you're going to find out that if you live without the Lord and die without the Lord, you're going to spend eternity in a place called hell without the Lord. Not because he doesn't love you, but because you did not choose the fear of the Lord that you might be saved and washed by the blood into the family of God. I got to say to you that you'll find that we're sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. You remember back over in the Garden of Eden, there they were, and boy, I mean, they didn't have a sin on them. And then all of a sudden, they decided that whatever God demanded was a little too strict, and they decided they'd go ahead and they'd do something that they felt good about themselves, and they, as a result, became sinners without hope and without God. I want to tell you right now, the whole lesson is this here, is that the first Adam is who we're talking about, that was married to Eve. These are people that sinned against God, sinned against the Lord in the Garden of Eden. And I want to tell you right now is that it took the last Adam, which is Jesus Christ, and he bought back more than the first Adam ever lost. Now, you don't have to live without God and all that business there and wonder how that is going to be. But when you get saved by the grace of God, God makes a saint out of you, and you're a child of God that's able to walk with him and walk by him because of the grace of God. You know, the Bible said when we looked into it that in Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 23, don't turn there, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I got to tell you, but God committed his love toward us, and while that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I'm glad to know that God and the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You're going to find out that one of these days, people are going to, we're going to die. I can tell you right up front, is that make no mistake about it, is that one of these days, I'm going to be able to check out from this world, and I'm going to say the last thing I'm ever going to say, the last sermon that I'm ever going to preach, the last one I'm ever going to hear even. Let me tell you right now, one of these days it's going to come down to where the rubber meets the road. And let me tell you, what you've done with Christ is going to matter where you're going to spend eternity. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find, and let me just say, and I don't want to be ugly, I've got some people that are friends of mine and that I consider friendship, and that are in other religions that have no idea what it means to be born again, but they want to go to heaven when they die. Well, I want them to go to heaven when they die, but there's only one way, and it's not a Baptist way. It's a Bible way that you can get born into the family of God. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that here's what death is. Death is separation from. In other words, physical death, we're separated from those that are alive, that are like you're sitting here this morning. We all know what it's like to have a loved one that's went through the portal of death. We know what it's like to be lonesome without them, to be heartbroken. We know what it's like. And not only that, but we're going to know. If you don't know yet, you're going to know. I got to tell you, make no mistake about it, we all know what it's like to be able to suffer a physical death. But let me tell you right now is you don't want to suffer a physical death and also be dead already in trespasses and sins, which is a spiritual death. That's why I say that if you live without God and you die without God, you're going to spend eternity in a place called hell, the bottomless pit, the lake of fire where the worm never dies and the fire never quenches. You're going to spend eternity there without God. See, it's the difference between a physical death and a dead in trespasses and sins or a spiritual death. Now, I got to tell you right now, I'm saved, saved, saved. I may die at any given point in time, but I'm going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Make no mistake about it. I'm not hoping that I'm going to heaven. I've already got it guaranteed by the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, whenever we say the wages of sin is death, I can tell you right now what a gloomy sentence that is. What a time of remorse and what heartbreak. And you know what it is? You can't work it off. I'm preaching to a handful of people here compared to what's in the world. And let me say to you, there may be one of you. What is it you're holding back from? Maybe you've heard more than once and God's pounded upon your heart more than one time. And you've not yet submitted your heart and your life unto Christ. What is the matter with that? Well, I can tell you, you're not promised tomorrow. I've had many people in the last 50 years of witnessing and preaching and this and that. And I've had many of them tell me, well, you know, preacher, I may get all that straightened out one of these days. I may trust him tomorrow or later on down the road. Somebody asked the question one time, who promised you that you'd boast not thyself of tomorrow? Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I got to say that when you begin to look into it, you can't work it off. You can't work it out. And let me tell you right now, is, you know, over there in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 13, about verse number 25, he said the Ethiopian can't change the color of his skin. And let me tell you, neither can you erase your sin. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into the Bible, you begin to find the wages of sin is death. Somebody said, you said a while ago that God is going to pay me for all my hard work. If you live without the Lord, you've worked hard and all that business, the wages of sin is death. You could have had eternal life. But if you'd rather have the wages of sin, you can have them. But the wages of sin is death. And that means separation from God throughout all eternity. Notice, if you will, please, that he didn't just end up there in verse number 23 of our text. But you'll find out that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Now, that's what you want to look for. The gift of God's eternal life. What a pleasant sound that is. I mean, it sounded gloomy and sad and bad enough to know that the wages of sin is death. But what a pleasantry that it is when he says, but the gift of God. I've got something you couldn't earn if you worked the rest of your life. It's the gift of God. In fact, his own Ephesians, he said that it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you know if you could work your way to heaven, when you got there, all you'd hear some loudmouthed Baptist bragging on how they made it. But the ground's leveled, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out there's a message, the Bible said, of life and death over in Deuteronomy 30. Don't turn there. But in about verse number 19, there's a message there that you can have life or you can have death. And he says, choose life. God doesn't want you choosing to be without hope and without God and choosing death. He wants you to choose life. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out there's a blessing and a cursing that he puts before us. All you've got to do is receive the blessing that God has provided for you. You know, over in the book of Proverbs, in chapter number 13, the Bible said in about verse number 15, the way of the transgressor is hard. And I got to tell you right now, our choice is going to affect us, and our choice is going to affect our seed or our children. You know, every young man, you know what the problem is in the day we live in, why there's so much rioting and so much killing and so much, I don't know, just so much confusion. You know why there's so much of that? I can tell you why. It's because we don't have a stable home that lives for God, that lives for the Bible, that preaches the truth of the Lord. I voted for Mr. Trump twice. I voted for him twice, and because I didn't have anything but an idiot and an imbecile to be able to vote for on the other side of the fence from him. But do I think Mr. Trump's going to heaven? I do not. I know the Lord, and I know what the Bible says. about being saved by the grace of God. Is he an American? Yes, check that mark. Has he helped our country? Yes, he has. He is, no doubt about that. Does he, according to the Bible, know who the Lord is? Not at all, not on your life. You know, here's the reason why that I know he's not a Bible man. Now, Charlie Kirk, that's out there. You ever hear Charlie Kirk? Old Charlie, I believe, is the real deal as far as knowing the Lord and being saved by the grace of God with an open testimony. I would to God that Mr. Trump was, but he's not. Is he a womanizer? Yeah. But let me tell you, make no mistake about it, he doesn't have a clue what it means to be born again. He's got a pastor or pastorette, whatever they call it. Her name is Paula White. Remember that? And do you know that the Bible condemns that a woman can't be a preacher? And that's his preacher. That'll tell you right there, he don't know nothing about the Bible. You find that out pretty quick. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he's to be the husband of one wife. Number one, she's the wrong gender. Number two is she's been married at least three times. Now, I'm not beating her up about that and all this and that. I'm sorry that two or three other men didn't have sense enough to keep her and all this and that. I said all that to say this. She's just not biblically in her right place. Now, you'll not say that uptown without getting in trouble. If you say that anywhere, if somebody's going to misunderstand that because they don't compare apples with apples from the word of the Lord. See? you know, as you're listening to me preach, if I say something wrong, there ought to be a verse hit your mind. That ain't what the Bible says on that. If a person's not living according to the word of the Lord, then what they've done is they've laid aside what God had to say that they might be able to practice their own desire and their own doctrine. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I got to say to you, as we get ready to get down to the short roll, is that if you're not saved by the grace of God, it's a downhill run, friend. Make no mistake about it. I want to promise you that if you don't know the Lord in the free pardon of sin, you ought to let God, as he's knocking on your heart's door, you ought to let him in and invite him in and trust him as your Lord and Savior. Do you realize, I know, that the world is full of people that are religious and they speak hard speeches against the Lord and his coming and against the children of God? You know why there's so many young men that are out there that are just renegades and killers and thieves and dope addicts and adulterers and adulteresses and people like... Do you know why there's so much of that? Because the home has gone to hell in a handbasket. Nobody's in charge anymore. They just live like they want to live, look like they want to look, do whatever they want to do. See? And as a result of that, you're going to find out one of these days God is going to come knocking and for the last time. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, Jesus came into the world to call sinners to a place of repentance. You know, I remember the day he called me into a place of repentance. I'd already been to the baptistry, and so I didn't do any good. I'd already been going to Sunday school and church, and my mama and dad was good about carrying me there regularly, but that didn't do any good until one day finally took the word of the Lord from the Bible, made it real to my heart and soul, gave me grace and repentance, and gave me faith that I might be able to trust him as my Lord and as my Savior. Now, I want to tell you something, is that the day I got saved by the grace of God, the weights of sin were lifted. And I'm going to tell you what I did is that I was ready to walk down that aisle and confess openly, the preacher, I'm a sinner. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but I can see now. I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. And as a result of that, you know, the best thing that a person could ever do is to be able to trust Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. When did you do that, Mama? When did you do that, Daddy? Young man, young lady. When was it that you came to Christ as an empty-handed beggar and trusted Him as your Lord and Savior? The Bible said, He that'll confess me before men, I'll confess before my Father which is in heaven. But he that denieth me before men, I'll deny before my Father in heaven. And I can tell you right now is, I'm glad that I'm a part of the family of God. And let me just tell you right up now, I got a lot of people, a few people in this world that hate my guts, absolutely, but let me make no mistake about it. I'm hell-proof and heaven-bound, and there ain't a thing the devil, the world, the flesh can do anything about it. If you're a child of God, you can say that. You don't know all there is in the Bible, neither do I, but I tell you what I do. I know enough to know how to miss hell and make heaven, and I came to Him who paid the sin debt on Calvary's old rugged cross. His name is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Have you confessed Him openly? This would be a good time while we stand to our feet. Our musicians are coming, and while God is tugging at your heart's door, young man, young lady, sir, ma'am, while our people are getting ready to play the invitation song, is God knocking on your heart's door here this morning? Has God been pulling at you and calling at you and you've just ignored it? Well, don't ignore it another moment. While God's knocking on your heart, you ought to come forward and you ought to do business with God at an old-fashioned altar. Now, Father, bless the word to every heart. I pray you take and touch and pull upon every young man, young lady, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, whatever the need is, Lord, Thou knowest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number?
Number 57.
Number 57, while we sing, You come.